Everyone, God is good. Amen. Good to see you tonight. The Lord bless you. Let's go ahead and thank the Lord one more time tonight, shall we? Good to have each and every one of you. The Lord bless you. Thank you for driving out in this superb Texas weather tonight, right? Nothing like a little rain, a little snow, a little sunshine, a little freezing, 80 degrees one day. So good to have you tonight, especially those that are tuning in live. I'm sure that many decided to rest at home and tune us in, and that way you can tune us out if you need to. So anyway, good to have you. The lot of things that are happening tonight are not tonight, but that may be a word from God. Amen. The Homeschoolers in Harmony, they're going to be meeting this Friday, 10:30 a.m. It says please enter through the admin wing doors. For more information, you can always email Heather at loveneverfails.com. Also, the Adoption Support Ministry is canceled this Sunday. And then, of course, next Wednesday, I hope to see each and every one of you as we celebrate communion together. There'll be a future, or probably by Sunday, the tent meeting for the tent etiquette and training and so forth. I'll probably have a date for you this Sunday when that's going to take place. And also, there's a young lady, or I don't know if she's a young lady, could be an older man, I'm not for sure, but we have a new church member who lives in Joshua and is seeking to carpool with someone who lives in that area, so you can contact the office for more information on that. So let's go tonight to the Lord in prayer. Father, we praise you in Jesus' name for this day that you've given unto us, Lord. And we're thankful that we can come to you anytime with anything. And there's nothing too heavy, nothing too hard, nothing too difficult that you can't do. And that, Lord, as we do indeed approach the throne of grace tonight, that wonderful place where we can come, Lord, and have access by the precious blood of Jesus, Lord, we give you thanks for that. And we're thankful, Lord, that we can take people there, the people that you love, and, Lord, even those that are lost, and we can pray over them and ask you to help them. And we do so, Lord, again tonight, especially for our nation. We know that a house divided cannot stand. So we ask you, Lord, tonight to just help the Senate, help the House, help the President, help our nation become one again, and especially one again with you, with your wisdom and your love and guidance. We thank you for the continued healing for Javier, Lord, and especially the wonderful work that you're doing with Donnie, just bringing healing to his body. And Lord, we pray for little Abby tonight that you just touch her and bring her wellness into her soul and into her body, Lord, as so many are out with this horrible plague or whatever you call it, Father. So just bless us tonight and bless your word in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. Let's turn our Bibles tonight. We're in the book of Psalms. We're going to be in chapter Psalm 17 tonight, 17 and 18. And we're going to talk about the deliverance of God. And Psalm 17 is really, it's not a song of David. I love this psalm. It's actually a prayer of David. And it's the first psalm in the Psalter that is actually lists the psalm as a prayer. And it's this one right here. So David's prayer now, loved one, is so unique. This 17 is so cool. And the reason I say that is because David is literally, he's arguing with the Lord, he's presenting his case to the Lord, and he's telling God, the Father, our Father, why he should answer his prayer. Do you pray like that? You can talk to me tonight. I need all the encouragement I can get, okay? Yeah. Spurgeon said this about David. He says, David would not have been a man after God's own heart if he had not been a man of prayer. He was a master in the sacred art of supplication. So deliverance, of course, is the theme of these two psalms that we're about to go in, Psalm 17 and 18. Now, Psalm 17, it presents us with David's danger, which is present. When we get into the next psalm, Psalm 18, the danger has now passed, okay? So let's begin tonight in Psalm 17:1. David cries out and he says, "Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry, or listen to my cry, and give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. So David, he says, listen, God, this prayer is so urgent. I need you to hear. I need you to listen. I need to lend your ear to me, Lord, and because I'm about to pray the most honest prayer that you've ever heard. Look what he says, a prayer which is not from deceitful lips. Verse 2, and let my vindication come from your presence, and let your eyes look on the things that are upright. You have tested my heart. You visited me in the night. You have tried, or literally you've examined me, and you have found nothing. Is that an incredible statement? Huh? Yes. He says, you have found, literally, you have found nothing evil. And look at why. He says, because I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. So David said, Father, I have not sinned in word. I have not sinned in deed. And I say, David, what are you doing? You know, what incredible words are these? Lord, hear my prayer because you know that my heart is absolutely right. Have you ever prayed like that? Lord, you know my heart is right tonight. Look, just look at it. I haven't had a problem all day. I haven't had a bad thought. I haven't wanted to punch anyone. Amen? No. Listen, what does Jeremiah 17:9 say about the heart? It is terribly deceitful, isn't it? Oh, yeah, who can know it but the Lord? He's the one who tries and tests the heart. It is wicked, loved one. And so David, I mean, he prays that. And listen, these are the words also from David who cried out in Psalm 51:10, oh, Lord, create in me a clean heart. So, David, what are you doing? Now, listen very carefully. This is a prayer that we really need to understand. Because David is not saying in any way that he is pure, perfect, innocent in his heart, or any of those things. So verse 2 is going to be the key to this great prayer. Look at it again. Let my vindication come from your presence. Let your eyes look on the things which are upright. What did David just say? David said, Lord, listen. I'm innocent. I'm innocent of the wrongs that have been leveled against me. In other words, let's do it this way. From another translation, where David, he's saying he wants this vindication. Here's another translation of that verse. Oh, Lord, show the world that I am innocent because in your heart you know I am. So David is saying, listen, you've tested my heart. You've examined me in the middle of the night. Lord, you know everything about me, and you know that you found nothing, and you know that I am innocent of all these charges that are being leveled against me. I'm not guilty, Lord. So we know now that what David is really saying is that he didn't do any of the things that he's being charged with. Does that make sense? Okay. And he says in verse 4, concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept away from the paths of the destroyer. Uphold my steps in your paths, that my footsteps may not slip. That's a great verse. David, or rather prayer. David says, Father, listen, I've obeyed your commands. I kept myself away from those who travel the path of violent men, those robbers, those wicked people, those murderers, in other words. And he says, uphold my steps in your paths that my footsteps may not slip. Literally, David is saying, you know what? I obeyed you. I stayed on your path, and my foot has not slipped at all. Loved one, you know something? Whenever we do what God says, doesn't say it's going to be always easy. It doesn't even say it's going to be always pleasant, does it? But you know what? It says to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he shall direct your paths. Amen? Later on, David's son Solomon, he would write these words in Proverbs 4:10. Let me read this lengthy passage to you. It says, hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. And when you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. And take firm hold of instruction, and don't let it go, and keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter into the path of the wicked, Solomon writes. Let me drop down. He says, for they will eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines even brighter unto the perfect day. But the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. The longer we stay on the right path, let's just say the narrow road, you know what? We start shining brighter and brighter and brighter. Amen? And that's what we need to be doing. It says in verse 6, on this great prayer here, it says, I have called upon you, and you will not hear me, for you will hear me. O God, incline your ear to me, and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand. O you who love and or who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against you. This is really, you know, when David cries out like that, this is a way we should pray at times. You know, David's heart right here in this prayer, when he says, show your marvelous loving kindness, or is it, one translation says, show me your true love. Or another translation, the NIV says, show me the wonders of your great love, or reveal your wonderful love. What is he talking about? He's talking about God's covenant love, amen? Where God says, I am your God, and I promise that you're my child, and I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You're under my wing, in other words. I'm going to always be with you. Jeremiah put it like this. He says in Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, the loving kindness I have drawn you. What is David doing in his prayer? He's only telling God and reminding God of what have how. You've revealed that to me, that your love to me. I'm only reminding you about that love. You know, have you ever prayed, Lord, show me your marvelous love? But you know that he has, hasn't he? In John 3:16, we know this, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Romans 5:8, God proved or demonstrated his own love, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. God has revealed his love to us each and every day of our lives. Amen. There's not been a moment that God is not loving you and loving me. I thank God for that. We should pray like David. Lord, today, show me your incredible, marvelous love. Reveal that love to me. And then he says in verse 8, he says, keep me as the apple of your eye. Never let me be out of your sight, O Lord. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. What a beautiful prayer. And then David says about what he needs to be kept from. He says, oh, keep me from the wicked who oppresses me, from the deadly enemies who surround me. They've closed up their fat hearts. Have you ever prayed that one? They've closed up their fat hearts, oh Lord. In other words, they're without pity. Their heart is numb. It's insensitive, if you will. And with their mouths, they speak proudly. You know, David is like, Lord, don't you hear their boasting and their bragging and all that? And they have now surrounded us in our steps, and they have set their eyes crouching down to the earth as a lion eager to tear his prey, and like a young lion lurking in secret places. In other words, they're ready to tear me apart and eat me alive. He says, arise, O Lord, confront them, cast them down, deliver my life from the wicked with your sword. David is saying, you know what, Lord? I belong to you. You belong to me because you're a covenant God. And your property is in danger right now, and I need your help. That's what he's praying. He says, with your hand from men, O Lord, from the men of the world who have their portion in this life, meaning their life is empty, it's vain, the people that don't know the Lord. And from men of the world who have their portion in this life, whose belly you filled with your hidden treasure. They're satisfied with children and leave the rest of their possessions for their babes. In other words, this is not a happy prayer right here. He's saying to the Lord, Lord, fill them their kiddos with the same thing, that empty life that they already have. And he goes, for as for me, I will see your face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. And you know what? That's an amen. Amen. I can say amen with David. Oh, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's very, very powerful. Now, we're going to leave the danger behind, and let's go into the danger that is now past. Now, the word here in Psalm 18 is literally the word deliverance. You know, God has delivered us from sin, from the power of sin, the consequence of sin, and one day he's going to deliver us from the presence of sin. Amen? But I find in my life, and I know you do too, that every day of my life he's delivering me, isn't he? See, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes. We don't see into the supernatural every day of our life. I don't know if I've seen into it a few times in my life. Does that make sense? But I know God is always working on your behalf, on my behalf. This I know, the psalmist has cried out, that God is for me. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? So when we study out this great Psalm 18, did you know that there are over 23 different Hebrew words that's concerned with the deliverance from God? And so Psalm 18, which is a long psalm, boy, and we probably might not cover all of it, but it's one long psalm that has, and it's long also on telling us about the faithfulness of God toward David. And if you want to read Psalm, not Psalm, 2 Samuel 22, you'll find that this psalm is in nearly, well, it's a whole chapter, nearly verbatim, I think, except for maybe verse 1, okay? So the theme is God is our rock. That's David's song, and this is make it our song as well. So it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of whom? King Saul. And he said, oh, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. Now, that is so weird that David started out like that, because that word love that he uses is an unusual Hebrew word. It's not like the normal Hebrew word for love. This is a love, if like the love of a parent. He's saying, oh, man, Lord, I love you so much. And I want you to notice that David says, it's not my strength that delivered me from King Saul. It's your strength. Listen, we cannot do it in our own strength. Have you noticed that? You can't. Can you live the Christian life in your own strength? No, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 15:5, he says, without me, you can do absolutely nothing. Paul writes in Philippians 4:13, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We need to claim that for ourselves as well. In Zechariah 4:6, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Those need to be applied to our lives every day, because I assure you that really our flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Amen? So David cries out, and he glorifies the Lord for the strength, and I love verse 2. He says, the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my deliverer, my God, my strength. Or literally, that word strength means rock. And I love this. In whom I will trust, my shield and the horn, or literally the strength of my salvation and my stronghold. Listen, those are great words that David penned. Amen? But they're also great words that David really experienced in his life. And God wants you to experience exactly the same deliverance, where you can say, he is my rock. He is my strength. Amen? He is my fortress, where it becomes a reality in your life. And so he says, oh, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I'll be saved from mine enemies. Now watch this. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me, meaning the grave. And the snares of death came upon me or confronted me. Those words, David said, pangs and sorrows and snares. What was he saying? He says, Lord, death was all over me and all around me. But did you notice what David said? He said, the floods of ungodliness. Floods, plural, of ungodliness. Terrified him. Do you ever look out here today at the flood, plural, floods of ungodliness in our land? Does it bother you a little bit? Does it frighten you just a little bit? You know, it's enough to where, like you've heard me say before, I don't even want to turn on the news. I don't want to read the Fort Worth Startlegram. I don't want to read any of that. You know what I mean? I said, that's right, Startlegram. That's what I said. You know? No, it's one bad thing after another. That's why, you know, listen, that's why, remember old Warren Wiersbe? He's now gone home to be with the Lord. Great Bible expositor, great man of God. He always said, start your morning off with the good news, the Word of God, before you get into the bad news. Amen? Yeah. And that's what we all need to do. Man, start off with God's Word. I promise you, if you will do that, there's something so soothing about the very first thing you do in the morning is just open your Bible and just start reading it. Maybe you've saved your place from the night or the morning before. And just read that before you turn on your cell phone, before you start up the laptop, whatever technology you have. You know what I mean? And just read God's Word. And you know what I always do? I say, oh Lord, show me wondrous things from Thy Word. That's how I start my morning. Show me wondrous things from Thy Word. And then I open up to where I left off, and I just start meditating upon the Word of God. I start chewing it, if you will, that fresh manna for a very new day. And that's what David did as well. And he says, David says, oh, you know, these pangs and these sorrows, you know, it's ending. Have you ever just wanted to, never mind. You know what I'm saying? It's like, why can't you attack? If I'm going to come under attack, why my voice? Why do I have to have that crummy sore throat, all swollen, nose running, and ears throbbing, and headache? And why can't you just attack my foot or something? Let me limp up here. Well, I do that anyway, don't I? Do you understand what I mean? You ever think like that? All right. Look what David did and why he did this. With all the things that were going on, the problems that he was facing, look what he did. He says, in my distress, all the crummy things that were happening to him, look what he did. I called upon the Lord, and I cried out to my God. It's personal. He heard my voice in his temple, meaning in heaven. And my cry came before him, even to his ears. What is David remembering? He's remembering right now the dangers are past. He is celebrating all that God had done for him and how God had delivered him. And listen, God is no respecter of persons. What he did for David, he will do for you. Amen? He says, then the earth shook. Now watch this. The earth shook, trembles, foundations, hills, they quaked. Everything was shaking. Because God was angry, and smoke went out of his nostrils, devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub. It's kind of like a Corvette Stingray, okay? And he flew upon the wings of the wind. Don't you love that scripture? He rides on the wings of the wind. What a glorious word. He made darkness, talking about God, his secret place, a hiding place. His canopy around it was dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. What is David saying? He's saying, in the midst of my distress, I thought death was going to get me. But he said, you know what? God was there in my darkness all the time. He was working on my behalf, by my behalf. I didn't see him. I didn't know and understand all that was going on. But I know this. He was there. Sometimes God doesn't reveal himself like you want him to. Does that make sense? But he is always working on your behalf. And when you feel that God, where are you, Lord? Are you hiding from me? He says, oh, no, I'm working for you. I hide myself so no one can even see. No one knows what I'm doing. And that's what God does for us. And then he says, from the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire, and the Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire, and he set out his arrows, and he scattered the foe, lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them, and then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world uncovered at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of your breath, of your nostrils. Now, I don't know what all that means, but it is surely an incredible picture of a storm, amen? And a picture of God coming in for David and for us as well, bringing aid and bringing deliverance and so forth. And it says, he sent from above, and he took me. He drew me out of many waters, or literally many calamities. He delivered me from my strong enemy, meaning King Saul. Watch this now. From those who hated me, he's delivered me, but watch this, for they were too strong for me. That is a wise word. David's enemies, King Saul and all of them, they were too strong for me. Listen, we need to know, be the same way and trust the Lord because our enemy is too strong for us. Did you know that? Yes, he's defeated. Don't get me wrong. Yes, we've overcome the wicked one. The Bible teaches us. Yes, we have. However, loved one, listen, we can't do that in our own strength because he is too strong for us. What does the Bible, Paul write in Ephesians 6:10? Finally, brethren, be strong in your strength. No, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And he goes on and tells us to put on the full armor of God. James tells us in James 4:7, he says, therefore, submit unto God. Lord, we submit to your word. We're in your will. We submit unto God. Resist the devil. Resist is a military word in the Greek. It means the devil attacks us. Resist the devil, and he will what? He will flee from you. You see, we have to do it in the Lord's strength. We have to also do it according to God's word, his promise that he has given unto us. We have to take up the shield of faith by which we are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Not some, all of them. Faith stops him in his tracks. Amen? Now, they confronted me in my distress or my calamity. I love this. But the Lord was my support. And the King James Version says, my stay. In other words, the one who keeps me steady and stable when circumstances surround me in my life. What supports you? As, you know, whenever you study God's word, like this simple Bible study tonight, when I read it, I ask questions. Okay, David, he says here, the Lord was my support. And I ask myself, okay, what supports me? What do I turn to when calamity comes? Because I'll tell you, the flesh is weak. I better trust this or I better trust that. No, loved one, listen, we need to trust in the Lord. He's our support. He keeps our lives level, loved one. And that's what David did. And he also brought me out into a broad place. That's speaking of David says, I've been delivered. What he's really saying is, my days of living in caves and hiding from King Saul, man, they are finally at an end. He put me in a broad place. Because he delivered me, because he delighted in me. Verse 20, very important. And the Lord, what? Very important word. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Listen, we're talking about being delivered in the time of horrible distress, trials, calamities, circumstances that come against our life. I'm going to tell you something now. There is much to be said about a godly lifestyle. Amen? And that's what David was saying. Listen, how many people do you know that when the trials of life comes, the calamities, the horrible circumstances, you see them, but yet their life crumbles right before you. Oh, that is so sad. And maybe they end up blaming others for what's happened, or they even start blaming God. Oh, listen, you know, I want my testimony to be, no matter what, no matter what, Lord, I'm staying on the path. I'm staying on your path. I'm staying on the narrow road. I don't care what the wicked do. I am just going to keep serving you. Now listen carefully. Verse 20, look at it. The Lord rewarded me. I have found, just as David has, and you know, and you'll, if I tell you this, you're going to go think back and say, that's right. Have you noticed that when the trial has finally passed, whatever that you're going through, whatever, but you stood fast. It doesn't mean you were perfect, but you stood fast. You just said, Lord, I'm clinging to you. With all the faith that you have, you just stayed with him. And then when the trial was over, you found out that the Lord rewarded you. Amen. At the end of the trial, isn't it always that way? And you know what you say? You go, oh, Lord, I'm so glad I stayed the course. I'm so glad I kept running the race of faith. That I looked to you. I didn't let the trial hurt me. And it made me miserable. And I all those things. But Lord, I didn't yield. And now it's over. And the Lord says, whoa, man, look at the reward that you have gotten that's come your way. And therefore the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness. Remember, he's not saying he's perfect, okay? That's not what he's doing here. And don't forget the Holy Spirit is the one that's inspired this. Is that correct? That's right. According to the cleanness of my hands in his sight, with the merciful, you'll show yourself merciful. And with a blameless man, you'll show yourself blameless. And with the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble man, but will bring down haughty looks, or that prideful looks. It's amazing how God deals with each person according to their own attitude. You know, when we show mercy, mercy is shown. And that's what the Lord is saying. It says in James 4:6, God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And one of my favorite scriptures, verse 28, you will light my lamp, and the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. That is a true word, isn't it? Have you ever been in a dark place? And when you think, Lord, it is dark here. I mean, look how gloomy it's been lately. Don't you think it's been gloomy? Are anybody from California? No. It is gloomy. Man, this is the kind of weather that, I mean, it makes me want to write country and western songs, you know? You know what I mean? I'm joking. But no, I mean, listen, the Bible says your word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light to my path. On a dark day, you can open up the word and it's like sunshine, isn't it? Yeah. He says, oh, I love this. For by you, I can run against a troop, or I can run right through an army. He says, by my God, I can leap over a wall. It's got that Superman syndrome, you know? He says, as for you, as for God, his way is perfect. And the word of the Lord is proven. It is true, man. It is tested. It is tried. God's word never fails. Obedience to God's word, the walls of Jericho fell down. Amen? Yes. He's a shield to all who trust in the word of God. It's alive, it's sharper, it's more powerful than any two-edged sword, loved one. It's tested, it's tried, it is sure. You can build your life on the integrity of God's word. And here comes this verse. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is a God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He says he makes my feet. This is talking about in a trial now. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on my high places. What is David saying? He says, I can climb up above my circumstances by God's grace, and I can look down just like a deer. You ever seen a deer go up, man? Have you ever seen those big, what do you call them? Is it the horn sheep? What do they call them? The side of the mountains? Big horn? I don't care what they're called. That they're all white, remember, and they got the long beard, and they can walk along the rocks way up high. That's what David is seeing. He says, yeah, he elevates me so high above my problem. my trial, what I do now is I look down upon it because of my God. He teaches my hands to make war, pardon me, that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. And you've given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me. My feet did not slip. I pursued my enemies, overtaking them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. I've wounded them so that they could not rise. They've fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with a strength for battle. You have subdued them under those who rose against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies. In other words, for that picture of David putting his foot upon the neck of his enemies. And so I've destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as a dust before the wind. I cast them out like dirt in the streets. That's the one I used when I drive an 820. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's what I... Now, listen, don't misconstrue that. A lot of people go, okay, I'm going to use that man. I'm going to get that guy that doesn't like me. No, 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 no. Listen, David's enemies were God's enemies. Okay, very important that you know that. Who was David's enemy? King Saul. Was King Saul David's enemy? Meaning, did David consider King Saul an enemy? Well, he did, but he didn't. Remember, he had how many opportunities? What, at least two opportunities to kill King Saul, but he didn't. He respected God's anointed. And not only that, did David pray for King Saul? Yes, he prayed for his enemies, and we're to pray for our enemies, pardon me, as well. Now, verse 43, you've delivered me from the strivings of the people, and you've made me the head of the nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. The foreigners submit to me. The foreigners fade away. They come frightened from their hideouts. I love this. The Lord lives. Blessed be, again, it's personal. Blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Amen, David. God is alive. He's not dead. He's with us tonight. He's with us in whatever we're facing, you know, whatever we're going through. No, he says, it is God who avenges me, subdues peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man, that probably talking about King Saul. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. Great deliverance, pardon me, he gives to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David, his descendants forevermore. So David and his descendants forevermore, surely it's speaking about the end there when our Lord Jesus comes and gets all the victories for us, amen, in the world. Now listen, let's make a quick application. We have plenty of time. Let's look back. I want you to just hold your place there, but look back at 18:2. I want to read that to you, and then I want to read again verse 46. It says, the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my deliverer. He's my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Verse 46, the Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. Now listen carefully. I know, church, listen, the Wednesday night crowd, the holy ones, you know what I mean. You know, I know that you believe those divine attributes about God. I know you do. And I know that you believe that God is the rock, the fortress, and the deliverer, the shield, the stronghold, and you know those are true. But it's also very easy to talk about it. Amen. Oh, the Lord is my rock. Listen, but do you say with David, no matter what you're facing in your life, and we're all going to face things in this life. We're not free from persecution. We're not free from warfare. We're not free from trials. Every decade of our life, loved one, if you've heard me say, is different. You know, you would think by the time that you get to a certain age that, you know, everything, you've got it under control. But that's not true, because every decade of your life, you're changing, your circumstances are changing. Your physical body is changing. You know, the outer man is perishing, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. You have different challenges in every decade of your life. So can you say, or will you say with David, not mental assent where you have, I know what the word says, but no, where you say with David, the Lord is my rock. No, I mean my rock. I don't care what that, he is my rock. And then what did David say? In whom I will trust. That is the key to all that we do in life, really, isn't it? You know, is Lord, I trust you. You know, if you went back and just looked up the first mention of rock in the Bible, it would be found in Exodus 17. Remember when the children of Israel were chiding with Moses there at Rephidim, and they were complaining and quarreling, saying, oh, we don't have any water. You know, remember that? And let me read what happened. We don't have any water to drink, da-da-da-da-da. In Exodus 17:5, and the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river, and go. Behold, God says, I'll stand before you there on the rock in Oreb, and you shall strike those people that are complaining and kill every one of them. No, that's my version. No. You shall strike the rock, first mention, right there. You'll strike that rock, Moses, and water will come out of it. People may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Now, I tell you what, I'd love to have seen that miracle, wouldn't you? There's 2 million people out there in the wilderness. Moses just walks up and he smites that rock and water starts gushing out in the desert. That must have been incredible. Now, listen. No one could drink until the rock was struck. No one could even be saved until the rock was struck. It sounds like a picture of Jesus on the cross, amen? That's exactly what it is. Now, I want to ask you a question. What would happen there in the wilderness, 2 million plus people, Moses struck that rock. What would happen if they did not drink? Well, they were going to die. They're going to die of thirst. They're in the wilderness. Now, listen carefully. They could go up, and there's the water gushing out of the rock. They could go up, and they could touch that water, couldn't they? They could go up, and you know what I mean? Man, I'm going to clean up a little bit, and a little dab will do you. You know what I'm saying? They could touch that water. They could take a bath in that water. They could even start talking about the water. Are y'all with me? Yes. And you know what? They could even say, oh, it feels so wonderful, so nice. And they could even all be in unity and agree that it really is water. However, unless they drank from the water from the rock, they would all die. If we brought that up to make application in our lives right now, loved one, listen, if the church doesn't drink from the water from the rock, we're all going to die too. Because we need that. We, loved one, oh, listen, rock is a metaphor, isn't it? It's a type. It's a shadow and so forth of good things to come. You know, the old covenant was shadows and all the rest of it. We don't operate in shadows. We have the true reality, don't we? The rock. Jesus Christ is our Lord. He is living in us. He is that rock. Remember, you say, well, Bill, how do you know that? Because of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:4. They all drank from that spiritual rock. For they drank, and literally it would be continuous, and they continued to drink of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now listen, Christ was present in the wilderness, the old covenant, and he was present with us now. Amen? Oh, listen. We're not under the old covenant. We're not under shadows. We have the reality right now. We're under the new covenant. Loved one, we need to drink of deep of the Holy Spirit of God. We need to flood our hearts with the Word of God. The Bible says in one of my favorite prayers, and I pray this often, it says in Psalm 61:1, it says, hear my prayer, O God. Attend to my prayer. I love what that means. It means, God, Father, listen, I'm praying right now, and let my prayer fill all of your heart, please. Attend unto my prayer, O Lord. And it says, from the ends of the earth I cry out to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Boy, I pray that one a lot. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock which is higher than I. Amen. Jesus is our rock. And where is he right now? He is seated at the right hand of God. And as you learned Sunday, are we seated with him? We're seated in the heavenlies with Christ, Ephesians 2:6, right this minute. Right this minute. Oh, Lord, we're right there at the throne of grace with you right this very minute. It says in Psalm 62:2, he only is my rock. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. That is faith. No matter what happens, no matter what I'm going through, I will not be moved. Why? Because David said, he is my only rock. I have no other security. Can you say that yourself? He's my rock. He is my only rock. He is my only strength. He is my only fortress. He is my only high place. He is my rock. He is my salvation. I have absolutely no other security in my life but God. Father, we thank you for this word tonight. Lord God, we love you tonight. We praise you tonight. Oh, Lord, even this moment, oh, Jesus, our rock, would you just baptize us afresh tonight? Filling us, each of us, overflowing us all over again, not only with your presence, but with your power, with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Be so real to us even this minute. Be here with us, Lord. Oh, we know you're here, but manifest your presence. Oh, Lord, touch your people. Just, matter of fact, Lord, overflow the sheep of your pasture. The Lord is my shepherd. Yes, you are. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack anything because the Lord is my shepherd. Just touch them. Refresh them. Lead them. Drop wisdom into their hearts, into their minds. Lord, this week, the remainder of this, lead them out into a broad place. Set them in a broad place, away from their calamity. And let them see the fruit of their reward for obeying you, for following you, for not yielding to the flesh or the temptations of the wicked one. We love you, Lord. We love you tonight. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight, shall we? Isn't God good? Now listen, I know that y'all know that this coming Sunday is, we celebrate, the fourth stock show here. So we all dress Western this Sunday, and we all wear our Western attire and our cowboy hats this Sunday. So, I don't know why I say such things. But, I think what happens, the older you get, you don't care. You just, who cares? It doesn't matter, But there are churches that actually do that. And, never mind, I don't even want to get into that right now because I am going to wear my cowboy hat to the Fort Worth Stock Show, and it has nothing to do with church. How's that sound? I pray the joy of the Lord is your strength this week. Amen. I pray that you don't miss one day of pray of your quiet time with the Lord in the morning. You seek him early. He says, you'll find me when you search for me diligently with your whole heart. Did you know that God wants to be found by you? That prayer is not just a monologue, loved one. It's a dialogue. Go to the Lord. Trust him. Believe in him. Believe it, that he's, believe his word, whatever you're facing in your life. Let doubt get out. Amen? And walk in faith. I love you dearly, and we're going to sing to the Lord. That's okay. They can sing to the Lord tonight, right? You know, where's a good man when I need him? He sees I'm suffering, but that's okay. Punish him, Lord. Punish him. Let's sing to the Lord tonight. God is so good. Come on now. God is so good. And I love him so. Yes, we do, Lord. I love him so. Yes. He's so good. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you in Jesus' name. If you need prayer tonight, you know we'll be here to pray with you. Love you dearly.